I'd like to call the Oral Valley Town Council regular session February 2nd, 2022 meeting to order. We welcome each of you that have joined us in person this evening and also remotely. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Bowen.
Here.
Councilmember Green.
Here.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson. Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. We have 6 of 7 council members present. Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy is joining us remotely. Mr. Standish, upcoming meetings.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Historic Preservation Commission will be meeting on February 7th at 5 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. The Water Utility Commission will be holding a special session on February 15th at 5 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. And then the Town Council's next regular session is scheduled for February 16th at 6 p.m. here in the Council Chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have Council reports this evening. Councilmember Green, Vice Mayor Barrett, any others? Councilmember Bowen, and then myself. So we'll lead off with Councilmember Green, followed by the Vice Mayor, followed by Councilmember Bowen.
Okay. I have a couple announcements, in this kind of time, they're both good news. So the first comes from the Stormwater Utility. They have the rainfall report for 2021, and it turns out it was one of the wettest years on record, with nearly 15 inches of rain recorded. Pima County rainfall gauge had about the same amount. The largest amount was on Mount Lemmon, where they had 53 inches. So that's good news, and it's the best we've had in almost 30 years. Second thing I wanted to report on, again, is good news, and it has to do with the Oral Valley Theater Company. They put on Steel Magnolias, and it was, all three performances were sold out. You couldn't get in there. They were wonderful, great acclaim. The next ones coming up are same time next year. It's by Bernard Slade, and they're going to have 4 performances, February 20th at 2 and at 6 p.m., and February 22nd at the same hour, and the 23rd at 6 p.m. So theater, live theater, is alive and well in Oral Valley.
Thank you, Councilmember Green. Vice Mayor Barrett.
Thank you. I would just like to use this opportunity to make a little bit of a statement. I am a mother in our community, and there has been an incident at a school in our community where there were some racial slurs that took place. And I would just like, I know that the schools and other people are handling everything, and I trust them to handle it appropriately. But I would just like to take this small voice that I have to make a statement that racism, hatred, and discrimination are not acceptable in our community, that they're not welcome in our community, and that we love and respect all members of our community. And I would encourage everyone to have those conversations in your families, as I am having them in my own family, and make sure that that word gets shared, that racism is not something that we accept in our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last week, I got another opportunity to do one of my favorite things, and that is to welcome a new business to Oral Valley. Brooklyn Bedding has opened up in the same shopping center as Home Depot on First and Oracle. And I learned a couple of really interesting things from our visit. Councilmember Green was there, as well as the entire Oral Valley team. And one thing that was interesting is that the mattresses themselves are not produced overseas. They're produced in Phoenix. So this is a domestic product, Brooklyn Bedding. And even better news for me was I happened to use the dry cleaners that's next to Brooklyn Bedding, and I asked the owner, you know, were you guys here before? And they said, yes, they had made an attempt in 2019 and early 2020 to come to Oral Valley, but they were hit by a lot of COVID complications. And the good news to me is this is a business that really wanted to be in Oral Valley, and a business overcomes the challenges. And this is a type of business I really want to support in our town. I hope to be able to buy one of their products soon. Secondly, wanted to report some good news. Being the liaison to the Water Commission, we have two openings, and I'm really impressed by the caliber of the resumes we're receiving for those openings. Not just people that are interested in helping out in Oral Valley, part of our deep bench, but also people with very specific experience relating to water and water conservation. So that's really good news. The people are stepping up to join our commissions. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Jones-Ivey would like to make a report.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. I'd like to give a number of dates. We have some exciting things going on for grad night. And I want you to get your pencils and pens, mark your calendars, because starting this Friday, February 4th from 3 to 5 at the Overlook restaurant at our own community center, we are having a happy hour to benefit Project Graduation for all three of our high school Amphi school district members. And it's only $10 per person. And I want to encourage you to come out, have some fun, and know that your money's going towards a good cause. Also, on March 4th from 5 to 8, we're going to have a first annual Guns and Hoses kickball fundraisers with our own OVPD versus Golder Branch Fire, and that's going to be at James Creek Park. Again, March 4th, 5 to 8 p.m. Saba Holmes Show, April 7th through the 10th from 10 to 5, which is going to be at the Tucson Convention Center. CDO Project Grad are needing volunteers to volunteer for two shifts for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The activity will include promoting Project Grad, of course, getting donations and volunteers. And then the whole culmination will take place May 13th through the 21st, and that's going to be our 2022 Project Grad Wonderland event. And for that whole week, we're going to need volunteers to come help set up the event, and then, of course, afterwards, take it down. So I want to encourage you to get involved, and please do that. They also still are in need of people that are interested, and in as much as possible, making their wish list. And they have an Amazon wish list. It's really easy to access. You just go to Amazon, and you can put in the information product for Project Grad, and it will bring up the items. It makes it really nice. You just order it, and whatever item that you choose will go directly to Project Grad. So there's not any worry about you having to get something at your home and then delivering it. I just want to encourage everyone in our community, please, this is the first year back after COVID. I want this to be the most exciting grad year that our students can have, and I'm encouraging everybody, please participate. I think we've got enough activities to encourage you, and I will be giving you reminders throughout the school year. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones-Ivey. I'd like to give a brief report. Last Thursday was a Pima Association Government Regional Transportation Authority meeting. I have the opportunity to represent our council, our community on both of those councils. At stake was a one vote, one jurisdiction, which has been in place for decades. I'm happy to report that The council voted unanimously to keep the one vote, one jurisdiction in place. What this does is it helps to preserve the regional approach to transportation for all of our communities, which we will, which we all benefit from. With that, Ms. Jacobs will present her report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. I just wanted to thank our community for being so patient yesterday and continuing through today with the water main break that we had on La Cañada. I want to commend our Water Utility Department, Public Works, Police, and our Public Information Officer for all the hard work that they did in responding so quickly, as well as our external contractor. Things kept moving smoothly. People were out of water for a brief period of time. And I'm happy to report that, provided it doesn't get too cold during the day, our contractor expects to pave that portion tomorrow, and we hope to reopen it on Friday. So otherwise, we might have to wait till next week in hopes for a little bit warmer temperatures. But again, thank you. Our community was very safe, responded, and great job to our team for responding so quickly. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Green had a question for you, Ms. Jacobs.
I had a number of neighbors asking me, what's the appropriate number to call when you have this kind of an emergency? Many of them didn't see it as a 911 kind of issue. And where would you advise them to call to find out about the break?
Thank you, Councilmember Green. I think that we always recommend the 911, and I know that the chief feels the same way.
Okay.
And very quickly, someone from our dispatch would say, yep, we got it. We're on it. Thank you so much for reporting it. And then they would feel comfortable knowing that they were heard quickly.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
The agenda will remain as posted. Again, we're glad to be continuing to meet in person. We recognize that COVID cases in our area and state and nation remain high. Pima County has once again emphasized the importance of wearing masks indoors. Should you need a mask, please help yourself to the mask provided in the dispensers by the door. Thank you for helping to mitigate the spread of the virus. For those attending in person tonight, should you wish to speak on the agenda item, on an agenda item, or during call to audience, please fill out a blue card located in the back of the room and hand it to Mr. Standish, our town clerk. This evening, I do have one blue card, and so I'll open call to audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. Cheryl Lamona, would you please come forward, state your name, and whether you're a resident of World Valley.
Good evening. Yes, my name is Cheryl Lamona. I am an Oro Valley resident. I've been following the progression with the Oro Valley Marketplace project, and I did attend your meeting 2 weeks ago. It got a little late, and you didn't get to answer all your questions. So I do understand that you have been asked to provide those to staff, and that they will get back to, you know, to you with the answers, I guess. Or is that something that's going to be addressed at the next council meeting on the 16th, so that the public is able to hear what those questions and answers were? So I also have a couple questions related specifically to the marketplace and the concept plans and everything. And I know you can't give me any answers. I'm not asking for that. I'm just expressing some things in hopes that it might, you know, shed some light if you get answers on them as well, but do with it as you will. So first of all, I was looking at some of the concept plans that were attached to the last agenda, and I noticed something that I don't recall hearing about, although it may have been discussed and I somehow missed it. Is there an entrance to the Tangerine Apartments from Tangerine Road, and is that going to be gated? It looks like in the area that is looking to be transferred or sold to the, you know, from the town or ADOT to Town West, that there's a road that runs along Tangerine and then down the side there. So I was wondering if that's gated or if it would offer the ability for people to go in there and drive through and as a cut through as opposed to going up to the light. So that's one. The other question is in regards to the planning general notes in development area 4. There's a statement there, and I just don't quite understand what it means, so I'm hoping for clarification on that. It says, all heights for this site are measured from the Oracle Road elevation and are inclusive of architectural features. And I'm not sure what that means in reference to the height there. Next one's on traffic. I know the last staff presentation presented some information on traffic generation from Oracle Road. But has that also been done from Tangerine? Because since that's been widened, it has really picked up on traffic. So I'm curious what that analysis looked like, and also how many traffic accidents we've experienced, well, not just the last 2 years because it's COVID, but even prior to that, that it would be at the intersections of Tangerine and Innovation Parkway, Tangerine and Oracle and Water Harvest Way. And then last one is regarding the Tangerine building, Tangerine apartment building height. In light of Tangerine being a scenic corridor, I'm wondering, I thought the applicant had said she'd provide that, a view shed of what those apartments would look like at the proposed setback, and if the picture were to be taken some distance before the bridge so that you could see in one picture both the hospital and the apartment building. Thank you for your time.
I have no other blue cards this evening. We'll go to the presentation. Vice Mayor Barrett.
I'd just like to refer those questions to staff and ask that staff get back to both the speaker and the council with answers to those questions, if that's all right. We can refer to staff, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll go to the presentations portion of our agenda. Mr. Standish, presentation one.
Recognition of outgoing board, commission, and committee members.
Thank you. So this evening, what I'd like to do is recognize all those individuals who have served on our boards and commissions or on committees. And we have three individuals that have joined us this evening that we will recognize in person with a plaque. But I will go through each of these first to recognize all the outgoing members. From the Board of Adjustment, Mary Murphy, who served from January 2020 to December 2021. Budget and Finance Commission, David Newell, who served from February 2019 to December 2021. Historic Preservation Commission, Stephen Hanstead, February 2019, December 2021. Gail Munden, who served from May 2018 to February 2021. These are all Historic Preservation Commission members. Vaughn Golden, who served from January 2021 to March 2021. Stephanie Kruger, who's with us this evening, served from January 2021 to December 2021. And Michael Wilson, who served from September 2018 to November 2021. And the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, Gary Temple, who's with us this evening, served from February 2018 to December 2021. Philip Saletta, served from February 2018 to December 2021. And the Stormwater Utility Commission, and Joan is joined us this evening, is Joan Brown. Joan served from January 2018 to December 2021. And Jack Stennett from January 2019 to February 2021. Water Utility Commission, Rick Reynolds, who served from January 2019 to June 2021. The Oro Valley representative to the Tucson-Pima County Bicycle Advisory Committee, Joseph Pickens, from February 2017 to December 2021, and Oro Valley representative to the Pima Association of Governments Environmental Planning Advisory Committee, Georgia Pennington, from September 2018 to October 2021. Let's give a hand to all of these individuals who served our community. And then I'm going to come down to the floor, and it's my pleasure to present plaques to the three individuals who are with us this evening.
Sure.
Okay. Let's first like to invite, and we're just going in the order that the plaques, it looks like they're in alphabetical order here. We'll start here. Joan, if you'd come forward. So Joan served in the Stormwater Utility Commission from January 2018 to December 2021 in appreciation of your dedicated service to the town of Oro Valley, Arizona.
My pleasure.
I'd like to invite Stephanie Kruger, if she would come forward. COVID. Stephanie, why don't you come to my left here? And so this is presented to Stephanie Kruger, Historic Preservation Commission, January 2021 to December 2021. And in appreciation of your dedicated service to the town of Oro Valley, we'd on behalf of the council present you with this plaque. Thank you. And last but not least, a neighbor. Gary, would you like to come forward? This is presented to Gary Temple, Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, February 2018 to December 2021. Again, in appreciation of your dedicated service to the town of Oro Valley, Gary and I often meet on the multi-use path near our neighborhood. So, present this to you. Only in a small town, right, do you meet folks on the trail? Again, we appreciate each of you joining us this evening, and I want to thank Michael Standish and Michelle, who help kind of shepherd our boards and commissions in a sense and prepared for tonight's presentation. So thank you to both of you. I will go to presentation two, Mr. Standish.
Presentation and update by Felipe Garcia, President and CEO of Visit Tucson.
So we have the pleasure of Felipe presenting this item to us. So welcome to the town of Oro Valley, Felipe.
Thank you very much, Mayor. It's a pleasure being here today.
And so which of our hotels are you staying at tonight?
That's a very good question. If I can find a room in our hotels tonight, thanks to the Gem Show, very excited to have him back in town in our community these days. So I just have, again, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to be here and give you a very brief opportunity, or not opportunity, update of what happened in 2021 and then what we're seeing in 2022. Now, I'm going to have just a few minutes to present this to you, but at any time, give me a call, as I mentioned before. We'd love to get together, have coffee, have a conversation, hear your thoughts, ideas, and give you more information on what we're working on. And again, to staff as well, really appreciate Ms. Jacobs, all her partnership working together. Mr. Melcher, we had some very good conversation the last few days about some things, and I'm going to get started so we can take advantage of time. So 2021, these are just general information about what we brought here to Oro Valley. We were able to bring site visits. Of that resulted in 47 bookings and 25,000 room nights. What that means is that when we go to talk to clients, we tell them, hey, we want you to come to your community. And if we can bring them to our community, it's a great way to ensure that we bring them to Oro Valley and to the metro area of Tucson. 25,000 room nights were generated in 2021, still a recovered year, still we were in the pandemic. It was hard, but at the end, and I'll share some very interesting news about how we ended up 2021 and where we think we're headed on 2022. Sports, we know that is very important. We were able to still secure 13 individual bookings, generating over 3,400 room nights. Now, El Conquistador was a host to Meetings Today Live. That was a three-day fam trip. So we brought people to our community. Mayor Winfield, thank you for being there and welcoming our guests to let them know about what we have to offer. And that were 28 qualified meeting and event planners. Many times we send information to these individuals. We will email them or mail them packages to Chicago or New York. But when we bring them to the community and they see it, and when they're at Hilton and looking at the mountains and the sunset like we have a few minutes ago, it's very, very easy a sale for us when they're here in town. Now, something happened 2021. We updated our website, new functions, new capabilities. There's a section in Oro Valley. Sorry for the bad layout. I was unable to put it together. But we have some very good and strong information about Oro Valley that connects with the community, talks about not only businesses, things to do in the community. Now, social media has been an amazing tool for us. And we had a very interesting strategy that we have developed that we're calling the Instagram funnel. So we place a lot of information through our social media channels, but many times we want to use content generated locally by other individuals that are not us. So you said there, for example, we were able to grab a very nice picture from a local Instagram account, and you can see the Oro Valley Aquatic Center in the mountains. If that does very well in our social media feed on Instagram, we push it to Facebook. Then from Facebook, we go to print publications that we can feature the destination. So social media was very strong in 2021. Maybe a lot of people still working remotely, working from home, that they were trying to get inspiration for their vacations. And again, we've been able to post a lot of content, a lot of information. Hopefully you're following us on social media and you can see the great content that has been generated there. I'm not going to go through all of these, but PR and media, a lot of journalists, a lot of publications coming to our community. A few months ago, I talked about great publications like the New York Times. We got National Geographic Food here in town. These are just a few of those publications covering different venues and places here in the town of Oro Valley. And I just wanted to show you this is how it looks like. I mean, those bullets are not very nice, but if you have a copy of the presentation, you can click on the link and actually see the full story. So 2021 was still a recovery. Still we're seeing people trying to see if they want to come back and do business. We got a lot of meetings in potential, but a lot of cancellations. Omicron was a big hit for us. Many events and organizers, they were ready to come and then decided to postpone, cancel their visits because of, again, that new wave in the pandemic. But what we're seeing in 2022, and this is very interesting for us, we're working in rescheduling those meetings, bringing new business. But for us, this is fascinating to look into Smith Travel. Smith Travel is a company. What they do is that hotels around the U.S., they all send to this company how many rooms do they have, how many rooms they sold in a month, and what was the daily rate of all the rooms they sold. And that gives us a good indicator of where we are and how we're doing. So if you look at the last quarter, October, November, December of 21, and we're not looking at 20 because that was a very strange year, of course. We're looking at 2019. That was a strong year. If you look at occupancy in Oro Valley, it's almost there. It's 4% less in 21 than 20 of 19, but we're seeing the right progression. But what is great news is if you look at the average daily rate at hotels, that means that it's more money coming to our community, and that means that we are finally stepping up and getting that value that we have as a destination. Many times I get mad or upset or something bubbles in my stomach when I go to Flagstaff and I stay at a residency hotel and it's $220 a night. And I'm here in the Hilton El Conquistador in 2019 and it was $139 a night. And I'm like, nothing against residency, but our value of our properties are higher than that. So we're starting to see consumers coming back to our community and realizing that it's a great place and it has a better value. So we're starting to see those rates go up. that, again, great news for our hotels, great news for our community, because more money coming through bed tax collection, taxes, and others here. Now, public relations and communications, we have our visitor's guide that just came a couple of weeks ago. Oro Valley's featured in many places in the publication, including a great article that we were able to post inside in two pages talking about Oro Valley Arts and having kind of a guide, more like a magazine storytelling about coming to the community and coming to Oro Valley. And in the next few, I think it's in the month of April, if things move forward, we'll be hosting what we call a reverse mission. So rather than taking hotels and people to Canada to talk to Canadians about what great place we have, we're bringing a group of journalists and clients from Canada to Oro Valley. And they'll be hosted at the Westward Look, and for a few days they'll be going around the community, eating at restaurants, and we'll be selling to them while they're here in our community. Now, when people ask me about what are you looking for the future, what opportunities and what else you think that you can do as a destination marketing organization, it's about supporting business. And I'm going to close my remarks with this next series of observations. Mr. Jacobs and Mr. Melcher, we were in Chicago a few months ago talking to some of our clients. And it was always interesting to talk to customers on the tourism side about economic development, about our community. So I know that when Paul is meeting with prospective companies that want to move to Oro Valley, he's talking about square feet cost and infrastructure and water costs and electricity. But one of the biggest challenges we hear is individuals, staff, people. How I'm going to tell my staff that we're relocating from Chicago to Oro Valley? Are they going to be happy about it? Are I going to lose people that they will not take a relocation package, or they're going to move with me? So what we want to do at VC Tucson is provide the elements and the assets to talk to those individuals, to make them excited to come to a community. Let me give you one very quick example. Big organization, they were trying to recruit about 500 individuals to come to Southern Arizona, and they were having a really hard time getting people to come here to our community. And I asked them, well, how are you telling the story about our community in Southern Arizona? I says, well, we meet with them, we recruit them. Once they accept the job offer, we have different positions open. They were looking at that time 500 people in about 2 years, 200 people immediately. He says, well, what do you send them to motivate them? And this is what people were getting, a Wikipedia page. He says, well, believe me, if I was in Boston with my family and I see this, absolutely not. I want to move into Tucson, Arizona, or Southern Arizona. So now we've been able to develop new content, new product, so we can help those companies, organizations that are trying to recruit talent to showcase what it actually means to live here in Southern Arizona and what's the beauty of our community. So we're going to be developing a series of assets that, again, Mr. Melcher can use when he's talking to other businesses. So he can show only not the manufacturing space or buildings or office space or meeting space that we have, but also that we can talk about those individuals coming here to our community. Also, with Mr. Perry, we were talking a few minutes ago, we want to support Oro Valley businesses. So as of now, I guess, we're working with the chamber here in Oro Valley to ensure that local restaurants in Oro Valley, they're also listed in VC Tucson website. So that, again, when visitors are coming, they can see that information on our website. And the last comment I want to make sure to share with you is that we're in the process of developing our next 3-year strategic plan. We're working with MMGY Corporation. They'll be here next week to meet with our board, have a conversation, and help us build, again, that recovery for the next 3 years and growth. In conclusion, we feel positive. We feel good. We're optimistic. We want to be careful about the future, but I think that we can still do amazing things in our community and even integrate more tourism and economic development. That being said, Mayor, thank you for the opportunity. And once again, give me a call, send me an email. I'll be glad to meet in person, have a conversation, and be sure that we are partnering and keep working together for a better Oro Valley.
Felipe, we appreciate that presentation, and I want to open it up to a council that may have some questions.
Absolutely.
Or comments. So just hold tight. I'll just add that Felipe is a new president and CEO to Visit Tucson, not new to Visit Tucson, but in a new position. Brent Dered went to Texas.
Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, yeah. Texas. And so we're really pleased to have Felipe, and he's a wonderful leader and advocate for our community. So,
thank you, Mayor.
Council, questions, comments? Vice Mayor Barrett and then Council Member Bowen.
Hi, thank you, Felipe. I do follow you on Facebook, and I had the opportunity to review your previous publication, and I was pleased to see that the incidences of Oro Valley being mentioned have increased in the past few years compared to when I've looked in the past, so thank you for that. I think that's great. One question that I have for you is I noticed that a lot of the promotions and pictures on Facebook are about the El Conquistador Resort, which is great because we have that asset in our community. But what are you doing to further kind of expand to the Westward Look Resort now that we've annexed that? I know you mentioned people staying at the Westward Look, but what are your plans looking forward for that?
So actually today I was speaking to general manager. We have a series of events that we're working on and hopefully we'll start booking in the next few weeks going to the Westward Look. Now regarding content and something I make a plea to everyone watching us virtually today, we need also content and images. Many of the images we take ourselves, we have a photographer, but you have no idea how hard sometimes it's just to get pictures. And we call people and says, I just need your picture. Please send it to me. I want to use it. That's where we're doing a lot of reposting in social media so someone else is generating because we have to be also very careful. And my good friend, former Mayor Rochelle, can attest that I cannot just take pictures that I found on the internet and post it in our website because we got some notifications before. But so any content that you can provide, that our community can provide, it would be great for us that we can keep reposting. So we'll keep those things going on. And again, with the Westward Look, we have some very exciting things happening very soon.
Okay, great. And I also think it would be great to have more content from the northern part of Oro Valley, so beyond Tohono O'Toole and the El Conquistador, but you know, going up into the mountain bike paths and the Catalina State Park and kind of that area up there. So I guess that's a call to us to help make sure that you have that content that you need. And that's great information to know. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I know we're working with the town staff to work on itineraries and make some suggestions for individuals to go out and explore. We want them to stay at the hotel, but we want them to go and spend money outside as well.
Yeah. Well, I'll tag you on Facebook.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you. Appreciate your making the long trip up here. Got a question about one of your slides. If you could go back a few slides.
Sure.
The one that mentions bookings, room nights. And I just wanted to understand some of the calculations there.
And you want to go to, let me go, this one?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes. For example, when I look at the groups category, 47 individual bookings at Oro Valley Properties, that results in 600-700 room nights per booking. Is that correct?
It depends on the group. Sometimes we have, of course, and that's a challenge we face as a community. Many organizations, they want to stay in one property. They say, if you don't have enough rooms, we don't want to spend it, split it in two, because then when you go to a convention, you want to stay in the main hotel. You don't want to take a shuttle, go somewhere else. So that's something that we are struggling sometimes is capacity. So, yes, we have groups of 40, 50 individuals. We have 300, 250. We've done takeovers of the Hilton, maybe 70% of the property because they have other clients of business as well.
And then approximately, what's the biggest event that El Conquistador can host? What can they provide in terms of room nights?
So right now we've been trying to be very creative in what we can do. So we have hotels that are convention hotels, that they have the meeting space. And, of course, they like that because you spend money in banquet functions and other activities. But we want to make sure that we're using other resources around so other properties can also bring compression. So what we're trying to do, Mayor, is council member, it's to work with, again, El Conquistador, 250 rooms. I think that's a good number because, again, they have transient visitors. They have other clients, other customers. Of course, they love when they can buy out all the property and you have one customer for the whole property. So Oton Suarez, he's been a great partner of ours. He's in our board of directors, and we're doing some very interesting strategies in working with El Conquistador and also Westward Look with the two properties, with the proximity that they have, that maybe there's something in between that we can create compression to the limited service hotels as well around the area.
And the primary organizations, it appears to me in looking at the website, that are served by Visit Tucson are the City of Tucson, Pima County, and Oro Valley.
That's
correct.
That correct? That's correct.
So have Swarita and Marana, have they been offered the opportunity to be part of Visit Tucson? What is their story?
So Swarita, yes, we do. And Swarita, it's a very interesting model because they have, I think, three hotels, so they have a different formula on how they're using the bed tax or a chamber of commerce, but we promote Swarita properties. Marana, yes, years ago we were representing Marana, but they decided to create their own tourism office. We still promote businesses around the region. I mean, it's good for all of us, but in the area of leads and bookings. So when we receive a proposal for a business, we only send it to hotels that are those government entities that are investing in the organization. We had a conversation recently with the town of Marana to see if we can reconsider, have a talk about, okay, can we re-engage and work together again in a regional approach. So hopefully that will happen in the future. I'll keep you posted if there's any changes on that relationship for sure.
And then I really enjoyed using your website today. I have to admit I'm getting caught up.
Thank you.
When I did some quick counting, I noticed about 110 of the hotels and motels were Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
We have four in Oral Valley, and Pima County has one resort. I mean, what advice can you give to us? Because it seems like it's overwhelmingly Tucson, as you would expect from Visit Tucson, but we have a vested interest in that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we send our bed tax to you. What can you suggest for us?
So right now for us is working with hotels directly to make sure that they're responding to our leads. So what we do, again, when we have a potential client, we send electronically a document saying, hey, there's a convention, there's a meeting, there's a sporting event. Send us your proposals so then we can send it to the customer and that we can book that business. We have a lot of ways and platforms. Unfortunately, sometimes hotels, they don't respond. They don't get back to us. Many times we have to be calling them. Right now, one of the biggest challenges we have, council member, is the lack of staffing in the hotels. That is not only in the front desk or janitorial. It's also sales team. Many hotels are relying on a regional salesperson, so we have to go and tell them, hey, pay attention to us here in Southern Arizona. You have hotels in California. That's great, but we need to for you to get us proposals for bookings here. So having those conversations and, again, building more product and inventory is always great. I know there's ideas, there's projects about building more inventory here in Oro Valley. Those are great news because, again, we can be able to bring more business to the region.
Mm-hmm. And your organization, it's a nonprofit, correct?
That's correct, 501c6. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Regarding hotels, if, you know, Pima County has one, Oral Valley has four, and Tucson has about 110, how does your organization go about allocating costs? Because putting the website mm-hmm. together, that's a lot of labor. That's a lot of work. You've got to maintain it. You've got to respond. How do you allocate costs? Is it on a per city, per hotel basis? How does that work?
So we are able to, again, track whatever the customer. The first thing we do is, again, take care of the customer. What do they want? What are their needs to make sure that they're happy and they'll keep coming to bring us back business to our community? Because if not, we stop that pipeline of business coming our way. Now, depending on how, we don't have a formula. We don't go and say, okay, depending on your investment, this is what you're going to get in return. We try to be very proactive, represent all the region. Again, when we're sending RFPs, we don't say, well, they're looking for an hotel in this specific jurisdiction. It's in the metro area. Now, some clients might say, well, I'm a Hilton owners, whatever, and I want to stay at a Hilton property and bring my event to Hilton property. Well, we'll only send that lead to Hilton properties around the community. If that's Marriott is the case, so that's what we call a target lead. But we're very open, very transparent, the leads that we're sending. We want to make sure that what we're tracking, leads and bookings to specific jurisdictions around. Now, the investments of the website, absolutely, it's a big investment. Very proud and happy to say that we keep working with an Oro Valley company, Simple View, that I think it's a hidden gem in the world. We were one of their first clients, I think, in the United States, and now they have, if I'm not incorrect, over 500 tourism offices around the world that the websites, their CRM, the CMS is developed here in this community. So we're very proud to work with a local company here in Tucson, in Oro Valley, that keeps expanding, keeps growing.
So is it accurate to say that a significant portion of the bed tax that's collected in Oral Valley actually gets allocated to Simple View to support Visit
Tucson? A few parts. Yeah, for the website, absolutely. For the website, and also we have to invest a lot of resources. For example, some sporting events that we can bring here to the community. Many times we have to go and help pay offset some of the costs of local the aquatic center, or we need to go and pay for a school to use their fields, so then we can secure that event here to come to Oro Valley. So a lot of times the money that we're receiving through bed tax, we're reinvesting in Oro Valley businesses, in Oro Valley infrastructure, to make sure, again, that we're bringing that business to the community.
Well, I just want to thank you for your consideration of our town, and once again, appreciate you making the long trip up here to speak to us.
I love it. It's always a pleasure to come here, especially with the sunset that you provided to me earlier today. And by the way, I was not charged in the weather today and tomorrow. I'll take credit as of Friday. Thank you again very much, Mayor, and again, anytime you want to get together in person, give me a call. I'll be glad to meet and have more conversations.
Well, just before you head back home, Felipe, so here's the scenario. You have family coming into town. Why would you bring them to Oro Valley?
To me, something that has been very great for us, Vice Mayor, it's open spaces. We've noticed, and that has been a great driver for the tourism industry. So when I tell people, come to Oro Valley because the open space that you can be at the Hilton, you can be the Westward Look, drive and walk a little bit, and you're on a trail. You can bike, you can cycle. Now, something that is fascinating, and I would like to share with all of you, of the success of the open spaces campaign that we launched. So that company, Smith Travel Research, we buy the data so we can know those groups, activities. But then we buy the data of our competitors. We want to know how Scottsdale is doing and how Phoenix is doing and Austin and San Antonio and San Diego and Las Vegas, San Francisco. So there's 13 other cities that we buy their data and we track and measure, okay, are they doing better than we are? They had a huge growth and we did not. So what's going on? So every month we look at that data. Before 2019, we were always trailing on the bottom three, always trailing in the bottom three. We were always excited to beat Albuquerque. We were always excited once in a while to maybe beat San Antonio, but we were trailing in occupancy. We're trailing in rate. 2021, October, November, December, we're in the top three. We're trailing Phoenix, San Diego, and then it's our Tucson metro region. So all of a sudden, things have changed, and it has to do a lot, again, with this very interesting campaign that we told people and told mayors, I told you, these great open spaces. We have people in New York, in Chicago, in Seattle that were in lockdown maybe for many months, and they just want to get out, and they want to go out to a place that actually they can walk out, see the mountains. It's beautiful. So that has been a great success for us, and I think we're going to continue doing that, and that's our sale about Oro Valley.
Thank you. And you know Oro Valley well, Felipe, mm-hmm. Through your tourism lens, what's one thing we could do differently or do better to up our game in terms of tourism?
You know something, the partnership with building, I loved when Mrs. Jacobs and Paul Melcher, we got together, they came to our office and we had a great conversation about what strategies are we developing and how can we complement and interact? There's a lot of synergies. And to me, it's always thinking about, I always have my tourism hat, my economic development hat. I'm always sure that when I'm talking to an individual, if I can attract them to come and bring their family here for leisure travel, but if they have a company as well, how can I sell it? So I think that we all have to be ambassadors of our community. I think Oro Valley does a great job in building a brand and a strong brand, but it's telling that story frequently and being able, again, to that plan that the town of Oro Valley has created, that we make sure that we're working together. So Vice Mayor, members of the council, keep doing what you're doing. Keep building a very strong community that is unique and it's different, that is part of a great community of Southern Arizona.
Thank you. I also just want to mention that Councilmember Nicholson, who's not with us this evening, mm-hmm. he's our liaison, serves on the board of Visit Tucson, and so we appreciate his representation on the board, Felipe. So,
thank you. And Mayor, thank you for representing the Oro Valley and our board for several months. We really appreciate it, and working with Councilmember Nichols is always an honor, and we're happy that he'll be sitting with our strategic planning session in the next few days, so yeah. He'll be able to voice his ideas and thoughts on how we can keep moving tourism in the right direction.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes.
Oh. I'm actually on Zoom. I'm listening. I wasn't able to sign in earlier, but yes, I want to say or do I have the floor, Mayor?
You do.
Okay. I just want to say thanks, Felipe, for doing what you do on Visit Tucson. Congratulations, being the CEO. You had big shoes to fill, but I know you'll fill them. Brent did a good job as well. And I think everyone's pretty much touched on it already, but what areas are growing the fastest as far as tourism? Is it business people? Is it mm-hmm. people looking at birds, golfing still? Or where do you see the biggest amount of growth? And then on top of that, what's our competitive advantage here in Oro Valley, which you talked about the open spaces, and mm-hmm. what can we do as council to really help you to get those butts in beds, as they say?
Absolutely. So right now, council member, and thank you for your comments, by the way, right now the biggest growth we're seeing, it's in the leisure traveler. The business, the convention, the meetings are a little bit on hold. They're waiting, of course, to Omicron, hopefully to slow down, be safe to travel. So leisure travel is being really, really strong for us. And council member, what we're seeing right now, it's individuals looking again, and I'll repeat that many, many times, that open space, that cycling, being able to be outdoors. During the pandemic, one of the days I remember was walking in my neighborhood. I was doing a FaceTime call with a friend of mine, the president of the Madrid, Spain Tourism Board, and I was walking, and he's watching, of course, my head moving up and down, and a blue sky on the back, and he asked me, he says, where are you, Felipe? And says, well, I'm walking outside. He says, aren't you guys in lockdown? I'm like, yeah, we are, but still we can go out. And he says, Felipe, I've been in my apartment that it's about 450 square feet, trapped, and I can leave only 2 hours every once a week to go to the grocery store. He says, I will kill to be in your community. He says, you're welcome anytime. You want to come here to our region. So people are looking for that opportunity, and that leisure traveler, that traveler is looking for unique experiences. So that's something that we're noticing as well. People are looking for something that is unique and different, something that is off the beaten path, something that has a personality, that has culture, that has character, and that's something that we have the product to sell. Going into the future, we know that we will like, of course, that meetings, conventions, groups to come back, those sporting events, because that brings, of course, strong economic development. But we want to make sure that we do it in a safe manner. Gem Show is going on right now. We're going to have less shows than years before. We have about 40 shows. Usually we have about 52. That was our record. We had 40 this year. Our top year, we had about 150,000 people to the community. We expect maybe 100,000 these days, but we've been trying to be very vocal about traveling safe. So long term, we're going to have to find a way to convince the community, the public, those conventions that they can have their meetings in a safe manner, even when the pandemic or this Omicron variant is gone. We think that we're going to have to live with an endemic maybe. And Council Member Green, I think you can talk more into detail about this specific issue, but we want to make sure that we're providing a community that is safe for travelers to come.
Thank you, Felipe.
Thank you, Felipe. Council Member.
Thank you very much.
Home.
Thank you. I have to pick up my kids now, so but I want to hear the presentation of Mr. Perry now.
Okay. Mr. Standish, presentation 3.
Presentation and update by Dave Perry, President and CEO of the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce.
So Mr. Perry will present to council. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for allowing me to speak this evening, members of council and staff. When I saw the agenda and I saw that I was following Felipe, I knew I was in big trouble. And I don't have the PowerPoint sort of skills and presentation. Mine's always a tactile thing. I got stuff here and happy to share that with you. I am Dave Perry. I've been the CEO of the Chamber for, if I make it to next month, it'll be 11 years. And Lisa and I have lived in Oro Valley for 14 years now. We love this place. I hope I die here. I hope it's not soon is my only request. We do have an operating agreement with you for services rendered. It's been a full year, I believe, since we spoke on Zoom. So I'm going to make some reference to the fiscal agreement as well as some of the things that we see happening right now. We do submit a quarterly report to staff, and I presume you all have access to that. In fact, I'm sure you do. And if you have any questions along the way, please ask them. You know, a year ago, we were still working on the OV Safe Steps project, and you had amended the agreement that we have with the town to help us pay for services that we provided in terms of promoting OV Safe Steps and then fulfilling paperwork. My guy, Dwayne Macklin, he processed literally hundreds and hundreds of receipts from Oro Valley businesses to improve and speed up the process that you all provided through your grant to OV Safe Steps. I thought that was one of the greatest things I've seen government do, honestly. And our chamber was honored and humbled to be of service in that regard. You know, we do relocation packets. In the fiscal year that ended June 30th, we did 65 relocation packets. What's interesting to me now is that visitors have come back. We stopped tracking visitors in our office during the pandemic, the height of it, because there wasn't anybody coming in. Well, since the 1st of January, we see them coming back. And Mayor, you and I met some Canadians at a recent ribbon cutting, Oro Valley Acupuncture. One of the Canadians, by the way, told me that the border opened on a certain date and they were there the next day to come back to southern Arizona, where I believe they have a second home. So the winter visitors are back. It's an encouraging and exciting thing for us. And we are resuming tracking their visits to our office, people from Iowa and Idaho, just yesterday. You know, we do gift cards for Cops for Kids, shop with a teacher. One thing that we did this last year, we provided a $10,000 grant to UPETCHA, the startup at our own U of A Center for Innovation, Oro Valley. Thrilled to do that. It was a business plan contest. And I would note to you, you may not know this, but UPETCHA just won a $10,000 grant from Purina. UPETCHA's business is to create a product that improves the breath of dogs. And I'm not a dog guy. I do know that dogs have sometimes unpleasant breath. But now, not just has the chamber helped with them and the U of A, of course, but here's a national brand is providing money for their idea. So we might be onto something there. Every year we stuff gift bags for the new students at the vet school, 110 students. This year our members provided 56 different items in those bags, which you provided, by the way. Each bag weighed about 5 pounds. I did my curls that day on those bags, and the students were thrilled to receive those items as expressions of care and support from our members and from our community at large. We support ShopOV. You ask us, you pay us to pay for ShopOV support. In the fiscal year that ended June 30th, we purchased $9,485 in $50 gift cards from local merchants, members and non-members alike. We give them away. Our thinking is that at a granular level, which is where our chamber does a lot of its work, if I give you a $50 gift card to Molly Thai and you have a pleasant experience there, you'll go back. What we're trying to do is change people's behaviors, make them recognize that they can get good product and outstanding service right here in our community and become repeat customers. That's the idea. I'm holding up an ad for the audience. We have advertising credits with the Explorer, Tucson Local Media, as well as the Arizona Daily Star, and we use those credits to promote local shopping. The headline here says, Shop OV, Help Yourself. And, of course, that's dual entendre. Help yourself to good quality service and great products, and your money stays at home, and it supports local jobs and eventually supports a tax base as well. One of the things that happened based on your strategic plan was the creation of the Oro Valley Business Summit. And we did that in the first week of January. A number of you attended. I have the program here from it. We had about 90 guests. And for a first effort, we thought that it was well done, well received. And we've got big ideas for that thing moving forward. One of my ideas, Mr. Mayor, is to have Felipe Garcia come up next year and talk to our retail merchants about the tourism opportunities and how to take care of our visitors from Mexico. Another idea that we just germinated yesterday was to have Chief Riley come to that event and talk about what Oro Valley Police do for retail theft and how to minimize that and how to make sure that if you witness retail theft in your business, you make a phone call to OVPD. So, Business Summit, great first step. We're going to keep going with it. The Oro Valley Map and Guide is our product. We print 25,000 copies. It also resides digitally with the Arizona Daily Star. Duane distributes these things on our behalf. We just received our first shipment, the first of the year, and I believe we've distributed about 16,000 copies throughout Oro Valley and beyond. People like them. They use them. It has a map that was generated by town staff, and we're grateful for that as well. I'm a hard copy guy. I'm also an old newspaper editor, and I like to have a bright, shiny picture on the front because that makes people pick it up. one of our biggest distribution points is Tucson International Airport. Our chamber has a strategic plan. It's a one-page document. I think the mayor has seen it. We try to achieve things. I report monthly to our board of directors on how we're doing toward those goals. One of those short-term goals is to get back to 550 members. At the height of the pandemic, March 2022, when that whole thing started, this whole thing started, we had 586 active members. 2 months into the pandemic, I went to our board of directors, and I was a little shaken, honestly. I said, we could experience a 30% net loss of our members based on the trends that I'm seeing. That's net. We probably would lose 40% and then try to recover some of those through new sales. I'm grateful to report that our actual net loss was about 17%. We went from 586 down to about 490 in the early in the spring this last year. And we've been growing again. We're back up to about 535 members. I believe that we can reach the 550 benchmark sometime in the next 30 to 60 days, more like 60 days. And that may trigger staff evaluation. We're a gang of 3.5 employees, all of whom, by the way, live in this community. And we think that at 550, there's a threshold where our ability to provide personal service becomes impacted. And as the mayor knows, I think all of you know, we are a personal service, high-touch chamber of commerce doing one-to-one business. And I heard Chief Sharp in this room say years ago, personal service is inefficient. And it absolutely is, but that's what our brand is. That's where we stake our claim. We have nice things coming up in the new year. On April 27th, we will present the Greater Oro Valley Economic Outlook and Spring Business Expo. On Friday, I'm having a Zoom call with an economist with a national company based in Memphis, Tennessee. One of our members is going to help pay for him to come here and speak. I'm also hoping to have a conference and presentation at that event from a representative, Leonardo, who's coming to our community with a major investment. Our 30th anniversary annual meeting and awards breakfast is scheduled for Tuesday, August 2nd. Only later did I learn that was Election Day. And then the 2022 Oro Valley State of the Town Address, Luncheon, and Business Expo is scheduled for El Conquistador on Thursday, October 27th. I did send to Mike Standish, who's always a terrific help to me, a copy of our annual report. It's digital, and you all have access to it. I have hard copies of it as well. Our fiscal year is October 1. It's not the same as your fiscal year, of course, but we did create our second year of a report, and it gives a pretty good summary of the things that our chamber does. And I've, in my experience in the job, I say often that I, as the president and CEO, have a unique vantage point in that I see almost everything that our chamber does. Most people just get a glimpse of it, a ribbon cutting, a scholarship, a personal service assistance, working with the town staff. But when you look at the bigger picture, the overarching thing, we do pretty good. We're not great. We're not perfect. We always want to get better, but we work hard. We truly do care about this place and our members. I would say to you that of all the things that we do in partnership with government, the most meaningful comes from the dozens of visits that I make along with the mayor, members of council, Margie Adler from the town staff, going on doorsteps, knocking on doors, meeting with members and non-members alike doing business in our community to find out what's going on. What are the things that you need help with? How can we be of service? And that is such a rewarding thing for me to do, and I suspect the mayor would concur with that. We learn so much, and the thing that I always walk away with is that those people feel better about our chamber, and they feel better about our town because we cared enough to walk in their door. and listen to what was going on in their lives. That's how we build community. That's how we build bonds between chamber and business and town and business. And I'm happy to do our part. You know, I don't consider this money that you provide to us to be a gift nor a grant. We want to earn it. I want to earn my dollar per Oro Valley resident, which is about where it works out. And I remind you of something, that I'm one of those residents too. I live here too. And it's your guys are dealing the tax money. I want to make sure I earn that money so I can look you all in the face and say, hey, we're doing the best we can out there. And I want you to know that we do that. I am grateful for the relationships that I have built over these years with all the people in this room. You've all been terrific to me as a person, and you've been great to our chamber as an organization. Mary, Chris, everybody on the town staff, Paul's been terrific to work with. The chief's outstanding. So I am grateful for all of those things, and thank you. I'm prepared to try to answer any questions you have. I do want to just tail briefly on something that Felipe brought up. He was talking about hospitality and the challenges that industry is facing. I was at one of our hotels here 10 days ago, and the manager was making beds. He didn't have time to be answering the phone or whatever. He was out there cleaning rooms, and he came and spoke with me. He told me that his hotel has 18 positions and 10 employees. So they're all doing their stuff. They're all rolling up their sleeves. I would suggest to you that the employment market that our businesses are facing is unlike anything they have ever experienced, and certainly I've ever seen as a longtime employer and worker as well. And I don't know what to do about that. It's a tough problem. The other experience that I had recently was yesterday, I walked into Best Buy. And I talked to Arzina Khan, the general manager at Best Buy. By now, the news is far and wide that Best Buy is going to close its doors in Oro Valley Marketplace the first week of March. And that hurts me personally. You know, Best Buy has never been a member of our chamber, never will be a member of our chamber. I get it. But I don't like seeing a business lost like that. And 43 people work at Best Buy. Now, they do business in our community. They buy lunch and stuff like that. They might not live here, but that's 43 jobs that we're going to lose. And it troubles me genuinely. I'm not making that up. I don't like to see people lose jobs. We have a terrific community here. This community has such a bright future, but we got to take care of it. We got to do our work on its behalf. I know you all do as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, for that presentation. And Felipe, not to take anything away from you, but I thought he did a great job without a PowerPoint.
I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, we're going to open it up. Dave, Council, questions for Mr. Perry. Council Member Bowen.
Thank you, Dave, for coming in and sharing with us. Regarding the membership of the Chamber of Commerce, what is your estimate of the approximate percentage of Oro Valley businesses that are actually members of the Chamber?
That's a great question. A typical chamber, Councilman Bowen, has about 25% of its resident businesses as members of the chamber. You know, I look at storefronts. I do not include home-based businesses in that. Oro Valley has approximately 800 storefront businesses. I think we might have about 200 of those. That's just a ballpark figure out of my head here. Our membership spans the city. You know, we've got big businesses from Tucson, a lot of people from Pima County, a lot of financials from all over the city, insurance, real estate, professional services. So I'd say it's about maybe between 35 and 40% of our total membership is in as an Oro Valley location as a business.
And I can only imagine that when the chamber unfortunately loses businesses, cost or loss of business is a reason. But are there any other reasons that you hear frequently from businesses that don't join the Chamber of Commerce? Is there any way that town can help? Are there services that you can't provide because of constrictions or constraints that you have?
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Bowen, the biggest reason that people either don't join or don't renew their membership is one thing. They don't see value in what we do. And I'm always being said, well, why did that guy quit? Why did that guy quit? I say, because they didn't see value. That's why. You all actually help us to try to provide value through things like door-to-door business visits with the mayor and Margie, with the materials that we get from the town. We generate a monthly economic development update from Margie and from the staff at the town, and we turn that into a one-page sort of a snapshot. Those are pieces of information that come from government, and we're glad to sort of repurpose it and share it with folks who want to know what's happening around our community. The thing I always say about when people say to me, how can I help the chamber? I say one thing. I say, say nice things. Say nice things about the chamber. Say nice things about the community. There's all kinds of negative energy out there. But if people say positive things about what we do as a chamber and what our community represents, you can't believe how far that goes.
And finally, what's the process for joining? If a new business comes in, how do they join the Chamber of Commerce?
Well, we have Sherry Colson is our business development director. She does a terrific job for us. She's got a pipeline. She's always trying to sell new members. When we see a new business open, we try to get in there. We try to get ahead of time, of course, see if we can provide some service to them. A lot of businesses have so many things happening as they're getting open that the Chamber of Commerce is far from their mind, and also they've got tight finances. We actually catch more of them after a year. An interesting anecdote on that point is Wow Lemonade joined our chamber just as it was getting open, and the owner there, he came and met with Sherry and I after he joined, and he said this. He said, if I had known what you all could have done for me before I opened, I would have joined right away. Because we do provide efficiencies. We do know who to talk to about stuff. We can direct him to the services that he might need and make it easier for him to get into business. So in an optimal world, we're catching those people as soon as they make a decision. And we do catch some of them now. You know, Pedego Electric Bikes is about to open a space in Oro Valley Marketplace. James Lorentzen, the owner, has a location down at St. Philip's Plaza. He's a member of our chamber. He came to me before he signed a lease or anything and said, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think about it? And I shared with him some possible leasing opportunities. I made sure that he was connected with town staff as well as the Golden Ranch Fire District. I shared a couple of experiences that might be helpful to him as he goes about his process, and he has signed a lease, and he's going to open in the marketplace, I believe, next month. So there's one where an established member in the city wanted to come to our community to do business, and he used us as a resource, and so happy to help him out.
Just in closing, I wanted to say one of the most important things in life is simply showing up and doing your job. And I find it very easy to say good things about the Chamber of Commerce because the leader is simply so relentless in promoting and attending our meetings. And I found it very easy to promote you at the Business Summit because you're a very good and positive head for the Chamber of Commerce. So I thank you for your efforts.
Well, thank you, Councilman Bowen. I appreciate that and truly do.
Other questions? Vice Mayor Barrett and Councilmember Jones-Ivy and Councilmember Nicholson, I haven't forgot you, so if you have a question, please speak up. But Vice Mayor Barrett has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. That was a great presentation. Thanks. You mentioned that 35 to 40% of businesses who belong to the chamber have an OV-based business. Mm-hmm. So what motivates the other 60 to 65% who are chamber members, other than maybe those who are looking to open a business here, like you mentioned with Pedego, but those who aren't, what motivates their involvement in the chamber, and are they also members of other chambers?
Let me answer that part first. We, of course, see crossover with the other chambers in our community, and I am an enthusiastic supporter of the other chambers. I want them to be successful. I think it's a great idea to join the Metro Chamber, which now has a new permanent CEO, Michael Guyman, who happens to be a graduate of Jonathan Rothschild's alma mater, Canyon del Oro High School. But the motivation for people outside of Oro Valley to be a member of our chamber is they want to do business in Oro Valley. You know, they want to sell promotional products. They want to get new clients for insurance. Perhaps they see financial opportunities, lending, things like that. They want access to this market. And they believe that we are a way, not the only way, but a way for them to achieve that access. Some of that through network development, some of that through reading our newsletter and identifying opportunities that may be available to them. And they also see us as a pro-business organization. And a lot of people are mission supporters. They want to know that a Chamber of Commerce in Oro Valley is trying to be pro-business and trying to tell the story of business before folks like you. And we appreciate that. I have mission supporters, Vice Mayor Barrett, whom I've never even met in 11 years. But they send me a check every year, and they say, hey, thanks for doing what you're doing. Keep on doing it. Guys like Jack Furrier down here. You know, Rick Furrier is the CEO now of Jack Furrier Tire and Auto. They've been a member of the chamber probably 25 years. I've never met him. But every year he says, keep doing the great work, sends me a check.
Great. Do you have in your fee structure for membership, do you have like a graduated fee for the size of businesses, or is it just a straight and level membership?
We are old. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. We are old school in the way we structure our dues. It is employee based. The number of employees that you have determines your fee. We also have corporate members who provide us with larger support, and they help keep things going, honestly. Our categories, we revamped them October 1. 1 to 5 employees pays $275 a year. Then it goes 6 to 15, 15 to 30, 30 to 60, and up. And our highest numerical count is 200 or more employees. A lot of those bigger businesses will become corporate members of ours. Our corporate structure goes from $2,500 a year to $20,000 a year. And we have about 17 or 18 corporate members right now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Other questions? Mr. Perry, how common is it for a chamber to have a relationship with a town, city staff, involvement with by the council?
Well, I'm told that it is unusual, Mr. Mayor, and Sherry and Kristen, our staffers, went to U.S. Chamber Institute at the U of A the first week of January. You know, we have a national institute for chamber execs in Tucson every year. It's great. And Sherry was sharing the fact that you and I go out on calls and that we have this close working relationship with other chambers. And they all looked at her and said, really? Because they don't. It's more adversarial in those communities. And I'm not your adversary. I don't agree with everything that y'all do, but I respect what you're doing and that I know that you care. And I think that we all kind of want the same things. We want a great community. We want this place to thrive. And, you know, part of it, Mr. Mayor, is, and you know a lot of my story, you know, I come from hard scrabble small towns that are where it's hard to do business, and people are always bumping heads and nothing really happens. And my view of the world is we can find common ground with government, and not everything is political. And we can do things together that provide support to business. And you've heard me say this, Mr. Mayor, many times. Good communities need strong business, and strong businesses need good communities. And I feel fortunate that we have that here in this town. And part of the reason is because of the relationships that we've worked at. It hasn't always been easy, as you know, but we've worked at it, and I think it benefits community, chamber, and business alike.
What does it mean for a community to be business friendly to you, Dave?
Demonstration of care, willingness to listen when businesses have challenges, open-mindedness toward new ideas. Business friendliness also means pace of process. And I think we've done some things in this community to improve pace. We talked about parking requirements here recently. We supported those parking code changes in part because they sped up the process, making decisions more administrative. That's what business is looking for, because I don't subscribe to time is money. I don't believe that. Time and money are two separate things. Precious, both of them. But in business, time costs money. So the longer things take, the longer approvals and permissions take, the more businesses spend. So being business friendly doesn't mean that you just rubber stamp everything, but it does mean that when it's appropriate, we have expedited processes to make it easier to open your doors.
You have a good pulse on the business community. What would be your sense of the business community's feeling about Oral Valley being business friendly or not being business friendly?
Thank you. That's a great question. I think we've overcome a lot in the last 10 years, genuinely. People hold on to stories and experiences that go back long ago, and they don't forget that stuff. We don't do a great enough job telling the positive things that we hear from businesses. And I'm always asking, what was your experience like with government? Did you get things that you needed in a timely manner? And, you know, I'll take responsibility for this. We don't do a good enough job sharing those stories. You know, negative conversation has legs. Positive conversation doesn't. And we need to generate more of it ourselves and then move it forward. Get it out there. Talk about those experiences that are good, because there are many of them. And, you know, this town, and I've lived here 14 years, this town's done a lot better at being business friendly than the environment that perhaps we had in the late 2007-8, et cetera, that kind of time frame. And those were different times too. But we're better. We can't stop as a community or as a chamber in trying to make it more business friendly, to refine processes, and to make people feel welcome, to make them feel like we want them to be here.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
All right. Well, Dave, we appreciate your presentation tonight and also fielding questions.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Yes, Councilmember Nicholson and I, we've had our hands up.
Okay.
And so go ahead, because Josh, you had yours up before I did.
I just wanted to say, or I should ask for the floor, I guess, Mayor. Dave, I just wanted to say thanks for everything you do, and I just really enjoy our business visits. Just going out there, talking with businesses. I mean, you can say whatever you want on the dais, but, you know, whenever we go visit businesses and stuff like that, be able to hear from their mouths and stuff like that really makes a huge impact. And just trying to find out what we can do and seeing what their struggles are. Sometimes you just get insights that you just don't get reading a paper or, you know, reading some staff report or something like that. But when you're talking to business owners and seeing what their struggles are and really listening to them, there's a lot of insight of that. And I really appreciate you inviting us along to do that, because I think it's really important for us to see that. And I do appreciate that. And yes, you do come to every single meeting. You don't come to just the big meetings that deal with big business developments. You're here every meeting. You know, sometimes you go home at 10:30 when it goes up to midnight, but I can't blame you for that. But no, I appreciate everything you do. And just thanks in general. Appreciate it.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Nicholson, thank you for those comments. And Josh, I'm getting old, so 10:30 is kind of late for me anymore. But I do take to heart what you say about that personal touch, because nothing replaces being in front of somebody and listening to what they say and looking around and reading body language. It's so revealing and so insightful for all of us. So I know we need to schedule more visits, Councilman Nicholson, and let's get back out there.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy, and just for the record, I can't see hands from where I'm sitting.
Oh,
so.
Okay. All right, Mr. Mayor, no problem. Dave, thank you so much for that presentation. You know, you and I and Margie visited, it's the Italian restaurant we have here in town. And we met with the manager, and he was expressing his concern about getting employees and how the mindset of employees have literally changed to what can you do for me? How can you make this job fit my lifestyle? And I've been thinking a lot about that since you mentioned there was someone at a hotel, I believe it was the manager, that was trying to help his staff because he was short. So I'm wondering, like we did with Safe Steps, if we can continue fostering an environment of networking with our employers, hopefully that's a problem that they can creatively and through their own experience resolve. And so are we thinking about continuing networking or some kind of a summit type get together for our businesses to help them overcome some of these new issues that COVID has presented them with?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman Jones-Ivy. We were at Olive Garden, you and I and Margie, and you're right. He was talking about the difficulty in trying to find people who wanted to work.
Right.
It is a terrific challenge. At the business summit, we did have employer sort of roundtables where employers were talking to one another about what they're doing to attract and retain help. And it's extremely difficult. You know, I have approached Pima County One Stop about possibly conducting some level of a job fair in our community. Haven't gone very far with it, but trying to do so. Our chamber has also entered a very preliminary relationship with Impact of Southern Arizona, which provides services to needy people based in Catalina. And their vision is to match their clients with training and employment opportunities. And I said, let's sit down and talk about that because we can help identify employers who are looking for folks. And, you know, rather than a hand out, let's give them a hand up and see if we can get them into meaningful work. So, yes, we are resuming networking. We're cutting a ribbon. We have a big event next week at Wendy Wise State Farm. We are going to resume mixing again and hope that those things help. It's a struggle. And the other piece of that is wage. And, you know, we are seeing wage creep, as I like to call it, where, you know, you're bringing in somebody at $15 and the person who's been working for you for 5 years is making $15.25. So that puts pressure on you to increase wage, which, of course, puts on bottom line pressure. It's a vexing kind of a problem, truly. And, you know, people are going to have to raise prices. Not only that, but we are in some relatively high inflation in our community and in our country. So prices are going to go up, wages are going to go up, and employers may still struggle to fill some of those positions. You know, we have remarkable complications with accessible housing, as an example. You know, people who work in Oro Valley in lower wage jobs, they don't live here. They live someplace else. How do we solve that problem? People way smarter than I am are going to have to try to figure that out.
Because I guess in thinking about our conversation about OV's next steps as being kind of a stage to OV Safe Steps, you know, I'd like for us to take that direction of helping our employers address the issue of how to get employees in and address their needs in that area. So do you see us being able to do that in a very in a viable way?
Mr. Mayor, Councilwoman Jones-Ivey, that's a great suggestion as we try to figure out what next steps looks like. And certainly the employment situation is at the heart of everything that businesses are doing. How do we assist them? How do we help them to find people to do the work? We got to think about that. You know, I've got some ideas, and I think maybe some of the recruitment has to occur in our schools, honestly, mm-hmm. getting in front of high school kids. We all had jobs in high school, I presume, and, you know, what's out there? Does a high school kid recognize what the opportunities might be and how they might lead to career possibilities? That's a great suggestion on your part, and let's see if we can try to follow up on that and fulfill
okay.
it.
Okay, I'd like to stay in touch with you on that one.
Okay, it's a deal.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Dave.
Councilmember Green.
Dave, I'd just like to say thank you. I mean, I have visited with you as you've gone to various businesses. You know the owners by name. They greet you cordially. They thank you for safe steps. Many of them thank you for helping them stay in business during the pandemic. And I think you're doing a terrific job. Thank you so much for tonight, for your presentation, mm-hmm. and for all the things you do for us.
Mr. Mayor, Councilman Green, thank you. And, you know, it's really, as I approach the end of my full-time run here as an employee, this has really been one of the most rewarding jobs that I've had in a different kind of a way. You know, I was a newspaper guy for 32 years, and I found newspapering to be rewarding, but not like this, not like the genuine sort of result that we experience when a business says thank you and you've helped me and you've helped me to stay open or you've helped my business to thrive. It's been truly a reward for me, and you've all been a part of that too.
275, that's good value, Dave.
The mayor is a dues-paying member of our chamber, by the way. I can email you all an application if you're interested. Oh, that's right. Councilman Green is as well. What am I saying? My gosh.
Hey. Here we go.
Don't tell anybody.
Sure. Well, again, thank you for your time. I know it's taken a long time, but
Dave, thank you. And also, please give our appreciation to Kristen, Sherry, and Dwayne.
Absolutely, will do. I got great folks working for us. And what really warms my heart is they all live in town. They all live in Oro Valley, and two of them are raising children here. So it's pretty cool.
Three and a half. You've brought new meaning to mean and lean.
Yeah, we may need to add, and we might do so soon.
All right, thanks.
Great. Thank you again, everybody.
We'll go to the consent agenda. Councilmember Bowen has asked that item B be removed from the consent agenda. I move to approve consent agenda item A, minutes January 19th, 2022.
Second.
Seconded by Vice Mayor Barrett. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Ayes have it. We'll move to item B. Councilmember Bowen.
Thank you. I have a few questions for the town manager. First question is, when was the option to continue operations of the La Cunada course made available to HSL?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Bowen. There has been no... The option has been in place in the purchase and sales agreement subject to the town discontinuing that golf course in the future. So since that hasn't happened, what's before you this evening is they're voluntarily withdrawing that option from what they're permitted to do today under the agreement. Under the 50-year agreement.
Is it correct to say then the option's been in there since we first signed the agreement?
That is correct, yes.
Is HSL aware that the town possibly is considering investing up to $3.9 million in La Cunada irrigation this summer?
Yes, they're fully informed as to our irrigation upgrade plans.
Are you aware of HSL requesting any concessions or consideration for extinguishing their option?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, no, they did not request any concessions.
And do you foresee a scenario post-installation of new irrigation on La Cañada course where the town would actually consider shutting down operations of that course?
Mr. Mayor, members of council, and Mr. Bowen, I can't look into the future for 45 more years. So do I think it's a likelihood in the near term? Probably not. But is it something that a future council 20 or 25 years from now might consider doing? Sure, that's a possibility.
So you don't see it as a likelihood in the next 20 to 25 years?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Bowen, I don't see it as a likelihood in the very near term unless a future council decides otherwise. We're just following the direction of council at this point. But again, I cannot predict what a future council will decide or not decide to do. At that point, it's a sunk cost, so a council could certainly decide to change their mind in the future.
Okay, the reason that I requested to pull this agenda item is because in light of the significant capital expenditures that we plan to make to the La Cañada course this month, I believe that HSL is sending us a very clear and important message about their desire to run a golf course. And that is, even if you put $4 million into it, I will extinguish my option readily to operate the course for $10,000. And that, you know, for me, the most important arbiter of value is not the person that's selling the asset, but rather it's the people that you offer the asset to buy it. And I think HSL has sent us a very clear message about the value of $4 million in irrigation improvements. And that doesn't change their mind, and it doesn't even encourage them to keep a $10,000 option on this course. And to me, a penny saved is a penny earned, and we often talk about raising more money for the town. But this is a $4 million expenditure that a very savvy business, and we know this business is very savvy. They invest in real estate all over Oro Valley, and they're telling us they're not interested in it at the cost of $10,000. So I would hope that the council would always be mindful that when we commit to spend $4 million, our community tells us what the value of that $4 million is. And the people that have access to that capital expenditure, they simply don't want to buy it. So I hope that we'll always remain mindful about such an expenditure and always be open to reconsidering it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon and Vice Mayor Barrett.
I don't think those comments are the least bit relevant to what we're considering here. When the town purchased the golf course from HSL, they were concerned that the golf course would continue and the town would maintain it. And then if for some reason the town decided not to operate it as a golf course, they effectively had a first right, you can call it a first right refusal, to lease the golf course back and operate it themselves. This has nothing to do with the irrigation repair or any financial analysis. When HSL sold the golf course to the town, they had already decided they'd prefer not to be in the golf course business, and they offered the town quite a deal, 350 acres of open space, including two golf courses, 30-something tennis courts, and a community center for a mere $1 million. Now the question has come up, since the Pouche Ridge course had initially been declared, let me back up a little bit. Effectively what happened was in the back of everybody's mind for a long time that it'd be in everyone's best interest if the Hilton were to basically reoperate or take over the Pouche Ridge course because it's effectively right in their backyard and their property. And the assumption on by both parties, HSL and the town, And the golf community, by the way, was that that would happen. And that was planned to happen. HSL had wanted to go through with that provision of the contract. And that was in early 2000. It had started in 2001. And then, of course, if I get my dates right, COVID hit. And the entire situation changed.
If I may, for counsel, I do want to remind counsel that all that has been noticed and posted tonight is the amendment where the owner is giving up the rights with reference to the La Cañada Golf Course. So I appreciate the history from everybody, but that's really all we should be discussing because that's all that's posted.
Okay, note taken. So all this amendment is doing is actually giving the town something. HSL has agreed to remove their ability or their option to lease back the golf course if for some reason at some time the town decides to no longer operate those courses. So from that perspective, it's a positive for the town because the town is just is receiving something for effectively nothing. HSL is willing to negate or give up their provision for being able to lease back the courses if the town decides not to operate them as a golf course. Whereas right now, if the town decided to stop operating it as a golf course and turn it into open space, HSL would have the ability to come back and say, no, we're going to take the golf courses back on a 50-year lease, and I believe it's the $10,000 a year.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
All right. Thank you. I'm not going to go all the way back in the history, but just about this provision. Councilmember Bowen, I don't know if you remember, but when we made the decision to operate those courses, this was part of that conversation. When we made the decision to do the irrigation on those courses and make that investment, at that time, the town manager had already been in conversations with HSL, and on my part, and had said, I'll bring something forward to you, to council. So this is just the culmination of that previous discussion. And on my part, one of my concerns had been at that time that we would be putting in a significant investment to a course that we didn't fully own. Because we weren't able to lease it to anyone else if we wanted to. We weren't able to operate it under a different method or a different operator than the one that HSL approves, whatever. We didn't have full control over the course. And so I feel like this is HSL, or at least through the resort, offering to say, okay, you're making this big investment in the course. We can give up that that right to come back and lease it because we're putting the investment into the course and having the intention of keeping it open and operating it. And so I think it's the culmination of those previous discussions. And I don't think it's that they're saying, oh, nothing you're doing of the course is of any value. Instead, it's the alternative. I, for one, had some concern about making an investment before we had greater control over the courses. And I'm glad that this has come forward because it's a great thing for the town to be able to have more effective flexibility and control over the assets that we manage, this being one of them. And I think we've shown a commitment to keep this open in the near term. And of course, none of us can predict what the long-term future looks like Ms. Jacobs stated. But I think that we're putting in that investment and that commitment. And so I don't see this as them saying, oh, that's not worth anything. I see it as them saying, okay, because you guys are doing this, we'll agree to allow you to have better control over the property. And that was something that I at least had asked for at that time. So I don't know for what that's worth. That's my perspective on this. I think it's great for the town.
Councilmember Green.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. I totally agree with your analysis. I think you put it very succinctly.
Any more discussion? Councilmember Bowen?
Thank you. This is a consent agenda item, and I just wanted to indicate to the town and the residents and the people that are paying for this $4 million of irrigation that there isn't complete consent on that. And that's all.
So I'd like to move to approve resolution number R22-06, authorizing and approving the addendum to the El Conquistador Country Club and Golf Courses Purchase and Sell Agreement.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, nay?
Nay.
The vote is 6-1. The motion passes. Let's see. Okay, any future agenda items? Hearing none, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Green. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Meeting's adjourned. Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Good night.
Good night.